Can one mourn for the loss of Jerusalem when that loss is so raw, as it was that Shabbat, and still sing on Shabbat about the rebuilding and redemption of Jerusalem? Of course one can. Indeed, it was in part the Jewish mourning for the destruction of ancient Jerusalem that kept Jews around the world so profoundly linked to that sacred site. Welcome to Jerusalem 365, episode 201, The Destruction of the Churva and the Faith of Jerusalem's Jews. I'm Meir Soloveitchik. As the Jewish quarter fell to the Jordanian legion, in triumph, the Jordanians dynamited the Churva synagogue, beloved sanctuary of the Ashkenazi community, and the most beautiful Jewish house of worship in the city, reducing it to rubble. We have mentioned that the name Churva, ruin, derives from the fact that the synagogue was built on the ruins of an earlier, destroyed sanctuary. Suddenly, the Churva was a Churva once more, along with other Jewish houses of worship inside Jerusalem's walls. One leader in the legion proudly proclaimed that, quote, "For the first time in 1,000 years, not a single Jew remains in the Jewish quarter. Not a single building remains intact. This makes the Jews' return here impossible." End quote. Gone was the dome that dominated the Jewish quarter's skyline. The same could be said for another splendid domed structure, which had risen soon after the Churva, the Tiferet Israel Synagogue. It too was destroyed. The Sephardic synagogue complex remained, and I think we can guess why. As we have mentioned, those sanctuaries were built into the ground, and therefore they did not proclaim in the skyline the Jewish love for Jerusalem, though of course they did embody the Jewish love for Jerusalem. Not part of the skyline meant that in the eyes of Israel's enemies, they did not need to be destroyed. That is what saved those sanctuaries, but they too would remain empty for almost 20 years. In violation of the armistice signed by Jordan, no Jew was allowed to pray in the Old City. This is an aspect of Jewish history that is unfortunately ignored by some. Some time ago, an article appeared in the New York Times by its architecture critic. The subject of the piece was the planned construction of a cable car that would descend from the new city toward ancient Jerusalem. The Times architecture critic described how some had criticized this proposal as a Disneyfication of Jerusalem, an utterly incorrect criticism in my view. Then, in his article, the architecture critic of the New York Times gave us the following astonishing sentence, quote, "Modern Jerusalem was spared Disneyfication, first by the highborn culture of British colonialism, with its awe for the city's antique past, and next by Jordanian paralysis, which froze the old city as if in amber." End quote. As I wrote in commentary, this sentence is a terrible, terrible untruth. Jordan froze Jerusalem in amber? Jordan, whose troops blew up the Churva and the Tiferet Israel Synagogue? Jordan, which banned Jews from the Jerusalem of their dreams? Jordan, which did not allow Jews to bury their dead on the Mount of Olives? Jerusalem, for this writer, was preserved by Jordan in amber? It is a horrifically untrue thing to write. For us who know what the Churva was for the Jews that prayed in the Jewish quarter, we can understand how devastating this exile and the destruction of the Churva must have been. With those leaving the old city, thinking perhaps of Hadrian's de-Judaizing of Jerusalem, watching the Jewish exiles leave the old city through Zion Gate, Rabbi Shlomo Goren, future chief rabbi of Israel, then a young man, chief rabbi of the IDF, looked on in despair. Only 2 weeks after Jews had celebrated the birth of a Jewish state, Rabbi Goren saw the fall of the Jewish quarter and thought of the Book of Lamentations, written by Jeremiah, describing the Talmidei Chachamim, the sages of the old city, despondently leaving the Zion Gate and mourning their loss. Rabbi Goren writes, quote, "The old city's surrender to the Jordanians occurred on a Friday morning. I was at my post and was summoned to come and take care of the rabbis and the elderly men who were not taken captive. All the women and children had been allowed to leave the city earlier that week. The Jordanians conducted a, quote-unquote, selection, taking into captivity anyone they deemed fit to fight, even the injured. The elderly were sent to a collection point on Mount Zion, where we went to receive them and take them to the new city. I went up to Mount Zion and saw them sitting there on the ground, the elders of the old city of Jerusalem, including several great Talmidei Chachamim. When my eyes beheld that sight, my mind reeled with the words of the Book of Lamentations, written after the destruction of the first temple. The elders of the daughters of Zion sit upon the ground and keep silence. They have cast dust upon their heads." End quote. And Rabbi Goren adds, quote, "That is how I saw them, the most distinguished elders of Jerusalem who had experienced all the hardships of the siege on the old city and the war, sitting on the ground, dressed in worn, tattered clothes. Some of them also had injuries that had been bandaged. I cried with them like a small child." End quote. Rabbi Goren writes in description of how he spent that day helping the exiles, but he suddenly noticed the sun setting. and because it was the Sabbath that was entering, he needed a service in which to pray. He did not know that that Sabbath experience would be one in which he would witness a reaffirmation of the faith of Jews in the ultimate rebuilding and redemption of Jerusalem. Rabbi Goren recounted that realizing that Shabbat had arrived, he sought a site for Kabbalat Shabbat, the prayers accepting the Sabbath, and Ma'ariv, the evening service. He learned of a service that was held by Breslov Hasidim. He writes, quote, "I went to the Breslov synagogue and was completely taken aback by the scene that unfolded there. Immediately following Kabbalat Shabbat and Ma'ariv, everyone stood up and began to sing and dance. May the temple be rebuilt, the city of Zion replenished." And Rabbi Goren added, "When I saw this, after everything I had seen and experienced over the course of the day, I could not hold back my bitter tears," end quote. Of course, Rabbi Goren did not know that less than 20 years later, while the temple would not be rebuilt, it would be Rabbi Goren, more than any other rabbinic figure, who would be associated with the magical moment when the Jews returned to the old city. Rabbi Goren concludes his description of the day that he witnessed the elderly exiles of Jerusalem by describing how he had joined the faith made manifest on that Shabbat to his own sanctification of that sacred day every Shabbat. Quote, "The prayers that Friday evening, with the singing and dancing, on the background of everything I had seen and experienced that day, the fall of the old city and the sight of the elderly rabbis sitting on the ground humiliated, greatly affected me. Ever since then, I have adopted the custom of singing, 'May the temple be rebuilt,' every Friday evening in my own synagogue, in the tune I heard that evening. I will never forget that particular Shabbat," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, can one mourn for the loss of Jerusalem when that loss is so raw, as it was that Shabbat, and still sing on Shabbat about the rebuilding and redemption of Jerusalem? Of course one can. Indeed, it was in part the Jewish mourning for the destruction of ancient Jerusalem that kept Jews around the world so profoundly linked to that sacred site. Of course, less than 20 years later, the Jews did return. One of them was the writer Pua Steiner, who had been a young girl in the Jewish quarter until being exiled. She describes in her book Forever My Jerusalem how, entering the old city's walls, she suddenly came upon a site of a destroyed building. It was her husband Chaim who informed her where they were. Quote, "We are inside the churva," Chaim announced, beaming with joy. "But I collapsed on the stairway, too stunned to speak. I looked all around me but could find no sign of the magnificent synagogue of my childhood." And then she added a bit later, "This was all that was left of the grand synagogue, the magnificent holy ark, the decorated walls, the stained glass windows, the star-shaped dome, the chandeliers, all in ruins," end quote. There in 1967, sitting in a Jewish quarter filled with joyous Jews, Pua Steiner, as she tells us, wept for the churva. And she writes, quote, "Slowly, I stood up and went over to kiss the marble stones of the bima. Then we made our way toward the kotel," end quote. There she prayed for the rebuilding of the churva and the other ruins of Jerusalem. Ladies and gentlemen, the churva has been rebuilt. Its dome dominates the Jewish quarter again. When I was just in the old city last week, I discovered that now the dome of the Tiferet Yisrael synagogue has been rebuilt as well. Of course, the temple has not yet been rebuilt. For that rebuilding, we still pray. But as we remember the terrible loss in 1948 of the old city of Jerusalem, we remember not only the sadness of the Jewish quarter's exiles, we also remember their faith. This is Meir Soloveitchik, looking forward to learning together tomorrow. Signing off.